From our bureau in Wausau, this is Morning Edition on WPR News. I'm Shireen Seewert. When Wausau attorney Bill Drengler and his wife wrapped up a 3-week trip to India in February, they decided to make one more stop on the way home. They chose Doha, the capital of the Middle Eastern country of Qatar. Then, regional conflict escalated, flights were disrupted, and what was meant to be a brief detour turned into a nearly 2-week ordeal before they could finally make it back to Wisconsin. Bill joins us now. Welcome.
Good morning.
What do you remember most clearly about those first hours after everything changed?
Mostly the uncertainty of it all, not knowing when we could get out, how we would get out, whether we could fly out ever. And that kind of stayed uncertain until we guessed right and found a flight to get home.
What was the atmosphere like in Doha as travelers began realizing that flights and plans were being disrupted and everything was changing?
We actually met very few Americans, but we met a lot of Brazilians, for example, and they were as confused as we were. I mean, literally, the airspace was closed, so no flights at all were leaving the country. Some people were making arrangements to drive 8 or 10 hours to Saudi Arabia. Some even drove 1,200 over 1,200 miles all the way to Egypt in the hopes of catching a flight when they got there. We decided to stay put, and fortunately, that was a good guess.
How frightening was it?
Well, we tried not to think about the possibility of something falling on our heads, but except for that, the people were friendly. We weren't confined to our room. We were able to wander around as long as we looked up occasionally and made sure that nothing was falling out of the sky. I wouldn't recommend it for the typical vacation, but it was an interesting experience.
How difficult was it to get reliable information about what was happening and what your options were as the days wore on?
We were encouraged to sign up for something called a STEP, which is an acronym, STEP something program, through the embassy. The embassy would once a day send a canned email saying how they were all concerned for us, how Trump and Rubio and everybody was concerned about our welfare, but they did absolutely nothing to get us out. We basically figured it out on our own.
How did you figure it out on your own? Take me through that.
Well, fortunately, when we arrived in Qatar, we had a ticket on Qatar Air, so we had some entree, if you will, to the local airlines. And they, in turn, after several, it took about a week before they flew to the US. They were flying to neighboring countries, they were flying to Europe. And we would have accepted Europe, but we ended up noticing that there was a flight, and we were able to get on the flight. And we figured until we got to the airport, it was going to get canceled like all the other ones. But somehow that one took off, and it was quite a relief to leave the airspace, I'll tell you.
What were the biggest day-to-day challenges of being stuck there for almost 2 weeks? I mean, you were on your way home, and all of a sudden, here, this unexpected delay.
Probably the hardest thing was the uncertainty. I mean, we knew that people were aware where we were, but nobody could do anything about it. I would guess that the hardest thing was really just knowing when we could leave and if we could leave. It was totally uncertain. It could have been days, it could have been weeks, it could have been a month.
What intrigued you about Doha? What drew you there in the first place?
We've been to about 70 countries all told, and we had never been to the Middle East. It was a direct flight from Doha to Chicago, theoretically. We ended up going to the JFK in New York anyway. So we kind of randomly chose it a couple months ago without thinking that possibly could be a Middle East war.
Give us a sense of the timeline. How quickly after you arrived in Doha did the problem begin?
Less than a day after we were there, the war started and we knew we were stranded.
What went through your mind at that moment?
I picked the wrong country to visit, I guess. I mean, it's kind of luck of the draw. I've lived a long time and I'm kind of a fatalist, so I thought, boy, this would be a hell of a place to die. I would rather not die in the Middle East during somebody else's war, but there we were.
I have to wonder, what has this experience changed for you? Maybe about the way global events can suddenly become very, very personal. I mean, what does it feel like now?
Well, Wausau has never looked better, first of all. Secondly, we're looking forward to our next trip to somewhere else other than the Middle East, for starters. And I feel kind of lucky for the experience, really. I mean, not everybody can brag about being in a, I joined the Army Guard when I was 39 years old and never saw combat in the desert. I almost got to see Saddam back in the day, but I didn't quite get there. Now I'm in my 70s and I've got to worry about bombs and missiles and exploding overhead. It was kind of a unique experience. We have pictures of intercepts. There would be 8, 10, 12 missiles or drones. We didn't know which because they kind of went over kind of fast, but we would see them exploding overhead, literally, on occasion when they were close by. Realistically, they were the base, the US base was about 12 miles from where we were, and the civilian airport was about 6 miles. We figured that was safe until neighboring countries had civilian airports bombed. But the embassy was only 2, 3 miles, and we knew that they had been vacated one night at least temporarily. So we were close enough for comfort.
What was it like when you were talking with the people who lived there? What were their feelings? What did they share with you about what they felt, what was happening?
Well, Qatar is one of those very rich oil countries in the Middle East. And so they hire a lot of foreign workers. We met people from literally all over the world, everything from hotel workers to restaurant workers to guys who would drive golf carts to get us from place to place. And they were all optimistic initially, but you could tell after about a week they started to get pretty nervous too. They realized when they went home at night, they heard bombs and things too, so it was unique.
What did it feel like when you touched down at JFK?
I never was so happy to be in New York, and I'm not a big fan of New York typically, but we stayed at a hotel in New York and we connected the next day to Detroit and Green Bay and picked up the car and paid $261 just for parking at the Green Bay airport, thanks to the extended stay. And I'm ready to travel after a few weeks of additional rest now.
Bill, thank you so much for sharing this. I'm glad you're back safely in the US.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
If you have an idea about something in central Wisconsin you think we should talk about on Morning Edition, send it to us. Our email address is central@wpr.org. And remember, you can always find great stories from WPR News, including this one, online at wpr.org. I'm Shereen Seward from our bureau in Wausau. This is Morning Edition on WPR News.